All right, time for the best 5 minutes of the day on a snowy Thursday. 18 degrees here, quarter to six, WWIB. Jason Cairns from Eau Claire. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
So far, so good.
All right.
You said snowy morning. I haven't looked outside yet, so
yeah.
Not sure what I'm in for.
Yeah, just probably an inch or less, but just the light, fluffy variety. But nonetheless, we got a little bit of it today, so.
Okay.
All right. So, I don't know. I had a comment from Mr. Rogers. I'm going to push off, but I've been noticing that not every morning, but sometimes I'll wake up and I'll have like one of my best spiritual thoughts of the day right to start the day. And this morning was that. So I'm going to drop it on you. Okay.
Sure.
So when we think of ourselves, when we have a real big opinion on it, it's a very small. It could be like a kid's talk in church. Okay. So. But sometimes those are some of the best ones. So,
absolutely.
If we have a big opinion of ourselves, then I think it just comes to reason that God is going to be kind of small. And again, I'm thinking of this favorite story of ours from Jesus, Luke 18:9-14, the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? I mean, the Pharisee, and that's, I'm presuming people are familiar, he had a big opinion of himself. But if we... Yeah. If we see ourselves as small, I mean, just like, and again, consider who you are in the planet and the universe, and we are so small, then small or low or humble view of self, then big God. What do you think of my spiritual take?
You know, that's an interesting take. I think for me, what comes to mind when I hear you talking is that I think what we're called to is having a right view of self.
Uh-huh.
Because we can have, certainly there's the narcissistic take where it's, I'm really something, I'm really special, which is the tax collector. But I think there's also the worm theology there's nothing good within me. And I don't believe that. And, so for me, I think definitely how we view ourselves impacts how we view God. And I think how we view God impacts how we view ourselves. For me, it comes back to that right view of self.
All right, so that's more like Tim Keller, maybe, Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, where he says it's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that follows C.S. Lewis, too, right? I mean, who said when you meet a truly humble person, you won't meet a person who is constantly putting himself down, but a person who seems just genuinely interested in you.
Uh-huh.
And just because he doesn't need to think about himself. And, so that comes to mind as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good... It is just kind of something I've said before, that people who are proud, sometimes you can look at some of the talents and abilities and skills they have and go, you know what? I can understand the battle that you got there. You got a lot of ability or beauty or what have you.
Yeah.
And yet,
right.
It doesn't really serve us well, you know?
Yeah. You know, some people are like me, carry that beauty and it's just really tough, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
For those who haven't seen me, I am clearly joking. I think that that's the case. And it's, there's a book that came out several years back called The Narcissism Epidemic, written by a couple of psychologists who were talking about this tendency to really make too much of oneself and kind of the damage that can have, not only not only within a person, but in relationship as well.
I thought you were going to go with Chuck DeGroat when narcissism comes to church, where he goes through the 9 Enneagram styles and talks about how narcissism can be a problem for each one.
Absolutely. That's a good book to read on that subject as well.
All right. We kind of ran out of time before we got, and we were supposed to do Philippians 2:15-18, but we still had some good and spiritual. In fact, let me drop a passage here. Isaiah 66:2, it's a favorite of mine in a book on humility. Use this as kind of the foundational verse, right? Who's the one the Lord looks to? He was humble, yes, contrite in spirit, hello, powdery brokenness, and who trembles in my word. So kind of getting that right view of self, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, tomorrow, whatever we open with, maybe it'll be Mr. Rogers, but we got to finish with Philippians 2, 15 through 18 tomorrow, okay?
Right.
There we go.
Sounds good.
Thanks. All right. He's got advance warning here on WWIB.
What do parents drive these days? Well, it used to be the minivan, right?
Uh-huh.
Then SUVs,
even
then
the station wagon before the minivan.
Yeah. But now, the newest in parental family hauling technology is something else.
Yeah, right. In Southern California, parking lot warfare just got real. Not content with their supersized pickup trucks and SUVs, America's road warriors can now go full military apocalypse with the arrival of the Rezvani Vengeance.
Now, while its competitors in the SUV space offer heated seats and optional roof racks, this souped-up SUV boasts bulletproof glass, blinding strobe lights, electrified door handles, and wing mirrors that can shoot pepper spray in case you really get in a battle on Black Friday.
It's going to be the coolest family vehicle in the neighborhood, right?
Not cheap, though.
Yeah, no, not cheap. Like, 280. You thought vehicles were expensive at 50,000? How about 285,000 to 499,000? What? That's the price setter keeping it just under half a million dollars there.
Always handy for the grocery hauling needs.
Mm.
Imagine this is an actual military Hummer blended with the Batmobile. That's kind of what it looks like.
Wow. There you go.
And if you're picking up your kids from school, you can also let them know you've arrived with strobe lights and a PA system, and you just tell them, hey.
Exactly. Your dad's here. The Whip Wake Up Show, WWIB.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Well, with this next item, hopefully we're barking up the right tree this morning here on WWIB. Yeah, we got some dog stuff this morning.
Yeah, some facts, figures, things that maybe you know about dogs, maybe you don't. For one thing, and leading with this, it is estimated that the family dog is the cause of at least 150 family disagreements a year. That's almost every other day.
That's right. Yeah, I found that really hard to believe. Like, I mean, can you find any truth in that as you look and think about your own home?
Probably what it comes down to is who has to clean up after the dog, mm-hmm. Whose turn was it
who
to feed the dog?
Yeah, sure.
The dog, things like that.
Who's going to walk the dog?
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably where it comes from.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it. You go, wow, that seems like a lot. But then you go 365 days in a year, maybe you're there and everywhere. Of all the money spent on their dog, 56% is for food and treats.
It can be pretty expensive, especially if you have a large dog. Dog facts and figures this morning on the Whip Wake Up Show. Evidence suggests that a dog's sense of smell is sensitive to the pheromone produced by humans in a state of fear, giving some credence to the old adage that dogs can smell fear.
Wow, that's something. Cats have twice the sense of smell of dogs, but cannot be easily trained to use it.
Maybe they just don't care. Wow. But yeah, I had no idea either. Police dogs, did you know this? Police dogs have been used since the early 1800s.
Huh. Long time. No, I didn't know it was that long. Humans share more DNA with cats than with dogs. Boy, cats keep kind of barging into this dog stuff
just keep
here.
Coming up. How about this? All domestic dogs are descended from 9 wolves domesticated in Mongolia thousands of years ago.
Three-legged dogs, and I know some folks who have one, three-legged dogs suffer less arthritis than their four-legged brethren.
Huh. And this is one final fact, figure, dog stuff here on the Whip Wake Up Show. Things maybe you didn't know, a lot of those we didn't know. Dogs and cats, like humans, are either right or left-handed, or right or left pawed, I guess. I had no clue.
There you go.
So when your dog glumps around like he's got two left paws, maybe he does.
Well, who are we talking about? They're too tired to drive, yet they do it while texting and attending to their passengers at the same time. Are you thinking teenagers? Not necessarily.
In fact, they might be moms and new moms, especially. A recent survey of almost 2,400 moms provides some interesting results when it comes to habits behind the wheel.
Yeah, 2/3 say that it's tough to concentrate while behind the wheel. 98% of parents driving with a child report being preoccupied for nearly 1/3 of the time they're on the road.
It's very true. It's very true because they might be in the car seats or the booster seats and they seem to not comprehend that, hey, supposed to have my hands at 10 and 2, not handing you your sippy cup.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. 70, you know, again, this is what the study shows. 78% of moms talk on the phone while driving with their baby. 26% read and send text messages. That's a no-no.
And research has found that you're four times more likely to have an accident when you talk on your phone. That includes hands-free. So, again, there's so many things that can distract us, too. We love our children. And, yeah, we love our devices. Not trying to put those together. But being able to focus on the road, it doesn't help things when you are hugely, hugely exhausted and tired like most moms are, especially new moms.
And again, you know, we promote MyPillow quite a bit, but the deal is, you know, a third of your life, you're probably sleeping and you want to have the best, most restful sleep possible. I had a great night's sleep last night. Now, I'll give MyPillow some of the credit, from the pillow to the mattress topper to the flannel sheets. I'm kind of MyPillow covered. I've told you about that comforter, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, but here's the deal. Moms drive exhausted, right? I mean, truckers average 6 hours and 50 minutes of sleep every night. Well, how about moms?
Moms average 5 hours and 20 minutes. That's an hour and a half less.
Yeah.
And again, if you have an infant, as I know from my household right now, it's probably a lot less than that.
Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. I mean, a lot of moms, and this can vary in your kids' ages and what they're up to if you've got older kids. So some moms average 150 miles a week running errands and taking kids here and there. More than a third admitted to climbing behind the wheel, even though they were just way too tired to drive.
So a word to the young ones in the vehicle right now, let mama drive.
Yeah, let her drive. And mom, we want to try to hope and pray that you get the sleep you need. And Jesus, please take the wheel. WWIB, good morning. Well, we were talking a few minutes ago about those moms of the infants and the lack of sleep, etc. Well, here's what one new mom says. She says, I have a question, and it's real urgent. Why do my infant son's pants have full pockets and mine don't? Why? What's he got to carry? So there you go. That's one of those.
There you go.
Women and lack of pockets.
Well, weddings, planning, you think about all the little details that go into it. The food you're going to serve and, of course, what you're going to wear, the color coordination, and on and on and on. And then afterward, what are ways that you thank your guests? And sometimes maybe you give everybody the little thing of bubbles or some rice to toss as you go out.
This some kind is of one, candies or something. Yeah.
This is one I've never heard of before.
Yeah, that's for sure. A newlywed couple in the Philippines treated guests to expensive giveaways during their wedding reception this week.
What were those expensive giveaways? Would you believe onions?
Bags of onions. Videos and photos taken by the wedding coordinator show the couple standing by crates and baskets of, yes, you guessed it, red onions, free for their guests to take home.
I mean, you talk about there's usually a lot of tears at weddings. I guess this just takes it to a whole new level.
I imagine if people started slicing and dicing.
Now, the bride's family has an onion business, and since onions are expensive in the Philippines, they thought, let's give them away as souvenirs from our wedding.
So in Wisconsin, maybe this summer, you know, give away some cheese.
Cheese curds.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
A total of 330 pounds of onions were given away during the reception.
I think the people had to feel loved and appreciated.
Well, and isn't that the whole thing, too? Because, again, say in our culture here, we say, wow, that's really kind of odd and strange and not something I would like. But in that culture, they were giving something beautiful away. It's something that's very practical for them. So,
exactly. There you go. You never know what you're going to hear. We cover the whole planet.
Yes.
And sometimes beyond.
I bet it's a lot warmer there than here.
Here on the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB.